Father, I thank you, Lord, for our fellowship today. Jesus is the reason that we are even able to gather together like this. And he's the reason why we gather every day. Praise the Lord. He's that day star in our hearts. We love you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that the Father gave. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son for us. Thank you, Jesus. Greater love has no man than this, Jesus said, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And we thank you. That was the mission that you had. And you came. We give you praise and glory, Lord. As we honor your name today, I declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be now and always in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, welcome everybody to this Christmas Day, December 25, 2025. That's a good ring to it. Praise the Lord. We want to talk about Jesus. Yeah. The scripture says his name shall be God. Well, I want you to fill in the blanks this morning. Help me out. What will his name be called? What do you call him? We know what the scriptures call him. We know what the angels called him. We know what some people in the scriptures have called him. Somebody like David called him all kinds of things. Isaiah, he called him all kinds of things. You know, everybody called him one thing or the other. What do you call him? What do you call him? The angels announced, you know, and said, you know, thou shalt bring forth, you know, Mary first, Gabriel said it. You will bring forth a son, you call his name, Jesus, you know. For he shall save his people from their sins, Matthew 1:21, as it is written, Emmanuel. God is with us. That's the very God that came to visit us. The day star from on high came to visit us. And when the angels announced his birth, they said, you know, rejoice. For unto you is born this day the city of David, Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They called him Savior. But what do you call him? Isaiah called him many things. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us, and this scripture is so appropriate today, unto us a child is born. The whole world today marks the birth of Christ. One day is chosen, whatever day it might be. Well, we thank God for it. This day has been chosen. Calendars were marked. There is no single day, you know, in the world like this. There's no other name in the whole world that has this kind of influence upon history, upon calendars. I mean, the whole history is either before Christ or after Christ. It's either BC or AD. everything, in fact, you know, even all the families that are in heaven, according to Ephesians 3 and 15, they are named by his name. And God has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, something spectacular happens. Devils bow, demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Well, scriptures call him a lot of things. What do you call him? Let's talk about it. I want you to put in the chat room what you call him. That's right. Let it be a permanent record of this room today. What you call him. But I want to speak to you a little bit about some of the things that the scripture calls him. But let me see what you call him. Go ahead. Put it in the chat room. What is his name? Praise God. What is his name as far as you are concerned? Many names, you know, that the scripture gives him. What are the names that you have given him because of the experience that you have had in him? You know, how do you see him and what do you call him? Well, we call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We call him Emmanuel because he is God in the flesh and came to be with us. So, what do you call him? Praise God. Well, go ahead. I want to see you put something in the chat room. One word, two words, a whole sentence. Feel free to do that. I want it to be on record what his people are calling him. What do you call him? Let's think about that. Well, we shouldn't even have to think about it. It should just come spontaneously. This is the kind of question that you do not think for an answer to give to that question, because Jesus is all in all. He's so many things and then some. No matter what you can call him, he can be that to you and even more. Praise God. He'll be to you what you call him. You call him healer. Well, because the scripture says so. He said that of himself. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Glory to God. Let the names keep coming. I see a lot of things coming in there. Somebody called him deliverer. Somebody called him wonderful. Somebody called him creator, the perfect creator. Wow. Beautiful. Somebody called him friend. Another person called him king of kings. Somebody called him almighty father. Somebody called him prince of peace. What do you call him? What do you call him in times when your back is against a wall? What did you call him? Did you call upon his name? And did he come through for you? Glory to God. What do you call him when you are in trouble? Has he given you peace like a river? Glory to God. We call him Prince of Peace. There's a reason for that too. Blessed be the name of Jesus, because in John 14 and 27, Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. The peace that the world gives is not the kind that Jesus gives. But he gives us peace, not just because there is no war or there is no evil occurrence. That's a great kind of peace too. God gave Solomon that kind of peace, you know. So there was no evil. There was no trouble. There was no evil occurrence. God gave Asa that kind of peace for a while, you know. And people had different times of peace when there was no war. But Jesus gives you peace even in the midst of war, even in the midst of trouble. You know, he said, though, everything breaks up around me, in this will I be confident. Though the earth be removed, the mountains, everything swell. You know, he said, well, I still have this kind of silent peace. And it's called, you know, peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4 and 7. So what do you call him? You see what all this is. Somebody called him my daddy. Somebody called him promise keeper, invisible reality. My goodness, I love that one. Somebody called him love. So many things that people are calling. Well, what do you call him? What's your testimony of him? What has he meant to you? Praise God. Let me read to you some of the things that the scripture has called him, and he can be those things to you and even more. Well, even the things that he called himself, we can look at it today and see what he has, how he has proclaimed his own name. He told Moses, that I will pass before you and I will proclaim the name of the Lord. And then in Exodus 34, the Lord passed by him in verse 5. He came there and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord said and proclaimed. Now this is God proclaiming his own name. People call him all kinds of things, but this is he himself calling himself out. Whatever attributes you will hear of him, that's what he are, how he loves to be known. He said, the Lord. Remember, hear, O Israel. The Lord, thy God, is one Lord. Glory to God. Not three, but one. The Lord God, merciful and gracious. This is the way that he introduces himself. Now remember, Moses said, show me thy way, Lord, that I may know you. And the Lord said, well, I'm going to tell you some things about me. I am the Lord God. Moses already knew that. Merciful and gracious. And this, he said, for the benefit of not just Moses, but everyone of us, that we hear of how God proclaimed his own name. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands. Well, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But at the same time, will by no means clear the guilty. Because it's a righteous God. The guilty will never be cleared. Now, they can seek his forgiveness and he will erase it. But you will not be cleared guilty without God's forgiveness. You will not be cleared. But if you come for his forgiveness, you will be acquitted. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And the Lord, throughout the scriptures, presented himself in so many ways. In another place, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15 and 26. He's the Lord that heals you. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all my iniquities? Well, that's who he is. Shall save his people from their sin. And who healeth all my diseases. Doesn't matter what it's called. Any sickness, any disease, if it has a name. Book of Philippians chapter 2 tells us that God has given Jesus Christ a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, because of how he humbled himself before the Father, how he emptied himself, be obedient even to the death on the cross. God, therefore, has highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name. Philippians 2 and 9. That at the name of Jesus, glory to God, every knee should bow. But that there are things in heaven, or things on the earth, or things under the earth, and every tongue should confess. And today, whether they know it or not, some people try to take away from Christmas as a recognition of the fact. All it is recognition of the fact that Jesus came into this world to die. You know, some people argue that he wasn't born, he could not have been born on December 25th. And I believe he was not born on December 25th. Why is that? Because there were shepherds, you know, keeping their flocks by night. You know, I don't think that on December 25th, it's a cold winter day around Bethlehem, usually. People wouldn't be out in the fields late at night with their flocks in the middle of winter like that. But whatever day it was, you know, we think he was born, I believe he was born under the fall season, like represent the fall of man and so forth, you know. And, but who cares? It's irrelevant, you know. In the book of Romans chapter 4, he says, 14, he says, well, one man estimate one day above another, another estimate all days alike. Some people celebrate Christmas, some people don't. Well, let every man be fully persuaded in their heart. You know, we have no such custom to debate days and seasons and so forth. Let no man therefore judge you with respect of days and seasons and new moon and Christmas and not Christmas. Don't worry about it. Give glory to God in the highest, always first, every day. If you do that, if you do it in the order in which the angels said it, then it's all good. But today, people even try to remove Christ from Christmas. No believer should ever spell Christmas Xmas. Don't do it. Don't you ever do it. Because, you know, that's part of the grand scheme to take Christ out of it all. It's not Xmas, it is Christ. Mass. Christ is the one that we are celebrating, and you should never spell Christmas as Xmas. No, shouldn't do it. It is Jesus is the reason. You know, I got a little sign in front of my house that says Jesus is the reason for the season. That's right. I want everybody to know it. When you say to me, if someone says to me, happy holidays, I say to them, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, not just happy holidays. People don't even want to acknowledge Christ. This nation, for years, did not even want to acknowledge Christ. Under previous administrations, even in government offices, you know, and even then, some of the private sectors too, they adopted that. And say, oh, you know, happy holidays. Yeah, because they don't even want to acknowledge Christmas. Well, you can't tell the Jews happy holidays. You know, no. They have their specific holidays. It's either Hanukkah or something else that they are celebrating. And it's not just holidays. It's whatever it is what it is. And, you know, so we shouldn't be doing happy holidays. It's an opportunity for you, you know, to talk about Christ. Merry Christmas, because it's about Christ. And who is this Christ? Well, you know, there's a song, and as a young man, I used to sing, say, you know, some people ask me, who is this Jesus you talk about every day? Well, what's your response? And people ask you. The Bible says, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Well, you should be ready. If somebody asks you about Christmas, be ready to give an answer, to tell them the reason why you are celebrating. 1 Peter chapter 3 and 15 says, believers must always be prepared, explain, and give a reason for the hope and the joy they have in Christ. You always be ready to do that. Praise God. But then let's see what other things did Isaiah say about him. There are many things that the Lord said about himself. I am Almighty God, he said to Abraham. Yeah? I am your shield, an exceeding great reward. Walk thou before me and be perfect. And told the children of Israel, many, many things. He called himself many things. Well, I want to dwell on this one verse for a minute, or a few minutes, of what Isaiah called him. This Isaiah prophesied his birth more than anybody else in that Bible. He's the one that said there will be a virgin that will conceive and bring forth a son. We shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah did that. He also was the one that brought forth this powerful, powerful revelation of the Christ, who he will be when he comes. Talked about him in Isaiah 9:6. And he reads, and on such a day as this, it is so appropriate. Because he's talking about the birth of this child. Well, in many parts of the world today, people mark the birth of this and that child called Christ. For unto us a child is born. That's what he said. And unto us a son is given or presented. You give a gift. Among all of our giftings today, give the gift of Christ to somebody. Give the big gift of the love of Christ. Glory to God. Love on somebody in Christ's name today. The Son is giving. And we see there the progression from being born as a child. And someday he became a son. Now he was already a son, but a grown son, and he was presented. And we saw that in Matthew 3. It took him about 30 years between his birth and his presentation. Luke 3 records it this way, when he gave the genealogy of Christ backwards. And he said, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of this, the son of that, and the son of that. You can read that as he gave the genealogy of Christ in Luke 3:23. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Well, and around that time is when he came out, be baptized of John. And when he did, Matthew records it this way. At first, John protested and said, well, I shouldn't baptize you. I'm the one that should be baptized of you. Yeah. Jesus said, well, suffer it to be so. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Well, Jesus knew the scriptures, always everything he did, even submitting himself to the ministry of John the Baptist at that time, And then, when he was baptized, according to Matthew 3:16, when Jesus was baptized, he went out straight away out of the water. And lo, that means, behold, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. John saw it. And there was a voice from heaven. And this was the presentation. This is my beloved son. Didn't call him child now. Now he's a grown son. He's moved from childhood now into sonship. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That's my boy. It's my beloved son. It's like God sticking out his chest, so proud. Why was God so proud of Jesus at this point? Take a look in the record in the Gospels. The Gospels were written in such a way that those first 30 years were hidden. Didn't tell us anything. God didn't want us to pry into that. According to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. Those things that were hidden in the life of Christ, except for one time when he was 12 years old, where he went with Joseph and Mary somewhere, and when they were done there, they thought he was in the company, but he wasn't. They went with their whole family, extended family. There's a lot of them. But he stayed behind, you know. And it took 3 days, you know, so maybe a day. They figured it out. It took them a couple of days to travel back or however long. They found him in the synagogue, sitting with the doctors of philosophy and different things and reasoning with them. And Mary said unto him, son, why hast thou treated me thus? And be careful now when you call him son. Jesus said, tell her, well, I must be about my father's business. And so she pondered these things in his heart. Which father is he talking about? You know, and well, after that, Jesus went home and he was subject unto them. And we never heard anything again for many years, you know, 12 to 30, that's about 18 years passed. And then all of a sudden, now he's a grown man. And the culture in Israel, you know, be a rabbi, you got to be a grown man. You can't be, you know, a child. Nobody's going to listen to you. You won't even command respect. You can't even be a priest either, you know, until you got to that certain age, you know. So Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. And when he was 30 years of age, he came to be baptized of John the Baptist. And when he was baptized, he was presented. The Son is now presented. Glory to God. You know, now, let's draw a parallel to that in our lives. At some point, when you encounter first his grace and his love, we call it the new birth. Jesus explained it to Nicodemus. You know, was explaining it. He said, you know, this is the new birth. And the man couldn't figure it out. So, do you mean a grown man has to enter into his mother's belly and be born again? He said, no, I'm talking about spiritual things. Are thou a ruler in Israel and yet you don't know these things? You know, so Jesus explained it to him, what the new birth was. And then we see that all of us who have come into Christ, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, is a new creature. This is the new birth. And that's unto us. Child is born. So we start there. Well, but must we remain there? Jesus didn't remain as a child. He grew up. He learned obedience all that time. The Bible says he was subject even to Mary and Joseph in the house. He learned some carpentry too. Because people used to call him a carpenter. The son of a carpenter. That was a family business. He did all of that. But one day he was ready. But look at his presentation though. At the time that he was being presented unto us, a son is given. You present a gift. A gift is always presented. What is it that he had done? We don't know. It's silent. The scriptures are silent. You know, so basically, we conclude that the reason God was sticking his chest out here and said, that's my boy, that's my son, of whom I'm well pleased, it's not because of miracles that he had done. He hadn't even been fully tested of the devil yet. But he's been led him from that point into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. And he come out after that, went into the synagogue, picked up the book of you know, Isaiah found a place where it was written. This Isaiah spoke a lot of things about it. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then after that, I closed the book and said, gave it back to the minister and said, this day is the scripture fulfilled. And then he went, began to preach the kingdom. And so, he hadn't even done anything to that we know. But yet God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So ladies and gentlemen, we conclude that what God is looking for in us, from the time that we gave our life to Christ, that we are now called born again into the kingdom, to the time when he will present us to the world, you know, as sons of God. This is my beloved son, he said. It wasn't because of miracles. So when people are thinking of the unveiling of the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God, so-called, many people are in their head thinking, we're going to walk on water. We're going to do miracles. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to do all, you can do all of those things even without being called my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But what he's looking for is you're looking like him. You're thinking like him. Now functioning like him, I could include miracles, but it's what he said in the beginning, in our image, after our likeness, we got his character. Praise God. So, Jesus was called, the Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God with power. That's right. Power, because even the heavens opened. Even Peter talked about it later. I said when we were with him, you know, even when they went to the mount, they heard his voice again, the voice of the Lord again. That Jesus was transfigured before then and said, this is my beloved son, that you should hear him. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus did and fulfilled many scriptures, you know, and when he came out to be Son of God, declared with power, around that age, there are many scriptures that talk about that. I don't have time to read all of it. The book of Numbers, chapter 4, verse 3, Numbers chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, in the book of First Chronicles, chapter 23 and verse 3. You know, many of these scriptures allude to the fact, you know, that a priest, you know, must be fully formed and fully grown. Paul, in writing to the Galatians in chapter 4, he said something similar. He described how a child, when he's born, you know, even though he might be a prince, how he doesn't even know it. And he's a baby, and he's nothing different than even a servant, because he doesn't know who he is. And he has to be taught who he is. Well, and, you know, Jesus, when he was a child too, you know, fulfilling all things, even though he knew the scriptures at age 12, he knew the scriptures even more than those grown scholars. But he fulfilled, you know, the scriptures too. From 30 years of old, of age upward, the Bible says in Numbers 4 and verse 3. Until about 50 years, you know, they will enter into the host and do the work of the ministry. That's how these priests, you know, they had to be a certain age when they entered. So Jesus himself waited to be that certain age, and he entered. And can you imagine the patience of the Father and of Christ? I mean, the reason that Christ came was for this very purpose. Yet he waited 30 years. And he didn't come with guns blazing. And people celebrating today, He was born in a manger as a child, as a helpless baby, almost. And God had to protect that baby. Herod wanted to kill all the children because he didn't want any other king other than Caesar. That was treason, punishable by death. And so he said, well, tell me where he will be born so he can go pay my respect. But he wanted to kill them. He wanted to kill him. And God protected him, gave Joseph a dream in the night. Well, there are those that seek the young child's life to destroy. So rise up and take the mother and the baby and flee into Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. The baby was helpless. You know, but he had the protection of the father. And as a baby grew, and it come a time, you know, when he's now a grown man, and God testifying of him, that's my son. Why? Because he looked like the father. The Bible says Jesus is the express image of the invisible God, Colossians 1 and 15, and also Hebrews 1 and 3. Looked like him, reasoned like him, functioned like him, and that's what we also must be. So on such a day as this, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, let's make reflections. The first and greatest reflection I want us to make is the name Jesus. What does it mean to you? People use that name for many things. And sometimes, call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. People call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, Jesus. You know, when they're in a crisis situation. You know, and the Lord is merciful. But he means much more than that. All the various things, even in this Isaiah 9:6. Going back to the rest of the things that Isaiah said he will be. We've talked about him as a child that grew up to be a son. I was presented. We've seen that. Let's see the other things that he said. He said, and his name shall be called. And that's the title of today's message. Well, what is his name to you? Unto us, a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. Let's talk about that. You know, Jesus will be the governor. Even Micah chapter 5 verse 2 predicted where he will be born. This was part of the scriptures that the scribes searched out when Herod said, well, go search and tell me where he will be born. Well, so they went and looked and found the place where it was written in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 that said, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one unto me that is to be governor in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So they say he'll be born in Bethlehem. So they knew it. And he'll be governor. The government shall be on his shoulders. He'll carry, you know, the authority. Bear the rule. And when we grow up in him to be his body, well, he's the head. The body is that shoulder. Eventually, the kingdom shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. It shall not be left to other people. Nah, just like Christ. And Jesus said it himself. You know, he that overcometh, Revelation 3 and 21, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. That's a symbol of governing authority. Even as I overcame and I'm set down with my father in his throne, you also that overcome will sit down with me in my throne. Glory to God. Rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelation 12 and 5. Now, and what is his name and what shall his name be called? Well, let's see all the names that Isaiah said he will be called. The first one that he said was that his name shall be called Wonderful. Well, somebody say his name shall be called Jesus. Well, yeah. So we speak from his name. Somebody say his name shall be called Emmanuel. Well, yeah. It's God with us. And that person said his name may be called Counselor. Well, Jesus said, well, you know, I shall leave, but I'll send you another comforter that he may be with you and teach you and instruct you all things. You know, all things that I've brought to even, I mean, that I've taught you before, he will bring back to your remembrance. Holy Spirit. The role here of the Holy Spirit is even wrapped up inside of him. He will also be called the Mighty God. Not just a mighty God, but the mighty God. Well, how many mighty gods do you know? Well, on top of that, this young child will also be called the Everlasting Father. Now, so when you are praying to Jesus sometimes, you know, some people pray and say, you know, Father God, you know, and they're talking to Jesus. And they call him Father. Yes, because the scripture says he's Father. Jesus himself was telling us to call God, the eternal spirit, our Father. But there's a mystery there. Because Jesus was trying to show us a relationship with the Father. But Isaiah looked and pierced the veil. He knew who he was. He said, right there, you may look at him as though he was the Son. You know, and as a servant, he will be bruised. He will be wounded for our transgressions. He will be bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah is the same one that preached all these things in Isaiah 53. You know, the chastisement of our peace will be laid upon him. By his stripes will be healed. And you look at him as a suffering servant. But yeah, he's eternal God. He'll be called the Everlasting Father. That's right. Because the spirit that's inside of him is that Everlasting Father. And at the same time, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince, he's the Son, he's the Father, he's the King. He's all in all. But what do you call him? Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and Isaiah, he pierced the veil. He knew it too. He knew it. Throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from this time forth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform. And Jesus, when he came, he had to align himself with every scripture. What do you call him? How is he being wonderful in your life? That's an area that you must experience. If you haven't experienced it, we invite everybody that may be listening to this or be listening now. If you haven't experienced Jesus as the wonderful name of Jesus, if you haven't experienced him as Savior, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, which is the Lord our salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. Well, that's one aspect that is available to all. Come unto me, Jesus said. And as many as come, I will in no wise cast out. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. If you can only come to Jesus, glory to God, I will not cast you out, he said. Others may cast you out. Your churches may throw you out. The religious systems may throw you out, trample you underfoot, but not Jesus. Jesus said, I will in no wise cast you out. All that come to the Father by me. If you come, you are guaranteed that Jesus will receive you. In the book of John, chapter 6, verse 37, he made this declaration. He said, all that the Father has given me shall come to me. That's right. And if they come, him that cometh, I shall in no wise cast out. That means under no condition will he cast you out if you come. Now, if you don't come, well, that's on you. But if you come, see, doesn't matter in what condition you are, come as you are. We don't call him Savior for no reason. And not only is he to save us from the wrath of God, he was to save his people from their sin. That means the sin nature, consequences of being born under sin. One of the greatest consequences people think is, you know, that we're separated from God and we go into judgment. Well, maybe so, but one of the greatest consequences is that we lose, you know, the presence and glory of God in our lives while we are in this life. So that was what God wanted for Adam. And Romans 3:23 told us that when he fell through disobedience, he lost the glory of God. And we all inherited the same problem. For all have sinned. And what's the consequence? And falling short of the glory of God. And that's the greatest loss that sin brings. You know, we fall short of the glory of God. We could be walking in the glory of God all day long. You know, it's like Adam was inside this thing like a bubble. A bubble was the glory of God. And it was that glory that made everything around him subject to him. Everything. Nothing was wild. Plants, there were no wild plants. Animals, there were no wild animals. Everything was well behaved. Domesticated, if you want to call it that. Everything. While the glory of God, while as yet the glory of God was upon him. But when he fell short of that glory through disobedience, now we see all this stuff. Plants started to become wild. Animals started to become wild because they could no longer sense that glory from him. They were looking to that glory and they were being enlightened. You know, Adam only had to be around, didn't even have to say anything. Oh, everything was in order just because of his presence. But when that presence was not present with the glory of God, or the glory of God was not present in that his presence, then everything started to rebel. There was anarchy. Everything became wild. And now they could no longer be tamed, some animals. You know, so that's the greatest loss that sin introduced. It lost the glory of God. Well, if Christ came to save his people from their sin, well, that means he must restore them to the original place where God intended them to be. His people, that is, not the whole world, but restore the glory of God. And so we must seek that glory. And some people say wise men still seek him. You know, some wise men came on the east. We've seen his star. Today, wise people still seeking him. Seek him. That is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Seek to know him so that we may understand him. Say, let him that glorieth glory in this. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Don't glory in your riches. Don't glory in your strength or might or whatever. But glory that you know him. We did that in our To Know Him series just recently concluded. So today, have you known him as wonderful in your life? Do you know him as counselor when you are going through situations where, you know, it seems that you might be confused and you need to make choices and decisions? You will hear a word behind your ear that says, this is the way. Will he show it to you? Have you known him in that relationship? David said, the Lord is my shepherd, but I ask you today. Jesus said himself, I am the good shepherd. So let me ask you this. Is the good shepherd your Lord? The Lord is my shepherd, but is the shepherd your Lord? Have you turned over your life to him that he will be at the helm of matters and affairs? Or are you still struggling the steering wheel with him? You know, if somebody is driving and the person sitting next to them is struggling the steering wheel with them and not letting them drive, they're going to crash. You know, our lives, we call it crash and burn. You know, they're going to crash. So let him drive. Glory to God. Praise God. So many more names that you, by your own admission, some of you today, you've called him healer. You've called him helper. You've called him promise keeper. And if you were joined us late and you didn't know we had a little exercise, look in the chat room. Add your own to it. What do you call him? Because the angels announced him that he'll be called Savior. Savior is born to you today. The city of David, and he's Christ the Lord. Well, the angel called him Jesus. When he named his name ahead of time to Mary, he'll call his name Jesus. Well, and on and on and on. Well, but what do you call him? Praise God. So today, as the world celebrates, well, we ought to celebrate as well. But celebrate with meaning. There is a name that's given. If he hadn't been born, that name would not be given. The name was given synonymous with his birth. For you will call the name of the child that will be born, Jesus. This is the reason why we celebrate. It's not just about, you know, light and Christmas, this and that, and gifts and all that stuff. And that's okay if it's put in its proper place. The proper place, again, I say unto you, is glory to God in the highest. First. Following that, you can have the, you know, peace and goodwill toward all men. You can do that. Goodwill is in giving of presents and different things. But first, you got to give glory to God. You tell the little children that are expecting Christmas gifts and stuff like that. First, you must give glory to God. Hallelujah. And you give glory to him in the highest. Well, you know, then every other thing that follows, as long as it's done to his glory, that's okay. So today, we celebrate and remember his birth. But you should also remember his death and resurrection. That's the one that Jesus actually wanted us to remember him for. Jesus himself didn't talk about his birth at all. He wasn't focused on that. That was just something that needed to happen for him to get to the place, you know, grow up to the man that he needed to be, to do the mission that he needed to do. But he talked about his death. He said, well, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. That's the one he talked about. But today, we know he had to be born in order for him to die. So, as we remember that, well, it's a good thing. Remember, though, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ also, you know, that he said, look, no servant is greater than the master. If I being your Lord and master have done these things, you should also do the same. He showed us a way forward Gospels were about the human side of his life. Show us how he did things. We saw his compassion, how he healed the sick, looked at them as sheep, having no shepherd. And he was moved with compassion and he healed them all. And all the things that he did. And the only people he were angry at, you know, were the religious systems. Because they were hypocrites, he said. But they put burdens on the people that they themselves would not even touch with a finger, Jesus said, Matthew 23. But to the common people, you know, he said, well, I've not come to condemn you, but I've come to save you. And every time he offered grace, he also offered instruction for righteousness. He said, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more, said to the woman that they brought. Ready to stone her, they said, well, Moses said we should stone this woman. What about you? Jesus didn't condemn her. Give her hope. Give her a second chance. That's what Jesus does. He'll never condemn you. He'll convict you, though. Anytime you feel condemned, well, that's not Christ. That's not the Holy Spirit. And that's not God. God never condemns you. He'll convict you, though. Holy Spirit will convict you that, look, I mean, you will feel guilty, but not condemned, so that you can look for Savior to redeem you. That's part of what the work of the law was to do, to reveal, you know, the sin nature in us that we could not do these things that God wanted us to do. Therefore, we need a Savior. And not only, according to 1 John chapter 1, not only that he's there to forgive our sins, he's also there to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's even a greater part. Praise the Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and all sin. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. You know. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not just to forgive, but actually cleanse us. Change that sin nature. And give us the nature and righteousness of God. What do you call him today? You can call him Savior. He is the one in whom heaven and earth met together. Righteousness and peace, they are all in him. Well, one scripture says righteousness and peace have met each other. Yeah, that's in Christ. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our life. Christ is our peace. I mean, all these scriptures. Christ is the hope of glory. I mean, on and on and on. We can call him, you know, from now till tomorrow, you can be finding names for Christ. What do you call him? Not just what somebody else said about him, but what do you say? One time in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus took an opinion poll, kind of a survey from his disciples. Said, well, what do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am? Who do they say? Well, one person said after this manner, another said after that manner. Jesus said, okay. Some people said, well, he's a prophet. Somebody said he's this and that. I said, okay. Whatever. But what do you say? Who do you say that I am? So that's the question for us today. What do you call him? Angel call him Jesus. Somebody call him Savior. Somebody call him Healer. Somebody, what do you call him? Well, Peter said, well, I call you Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus said, whoo-hoo. He said, wow, you didn't get that from anybody. Nobody taught you that. No seminary school. None of these Pharisees could have taught you that. That revelation, Jesus said, came from my Father. For no man knows the Son or the Father. Matthew 11 and 25. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, Father, I thank you because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but you have revealed them unto babes. For so it seemeth good in thy sight to do so. Please God to hide it from those that thought they knew and they were smart, but reveal those to those who come in simplicity to ask of him. And he said, well, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our prayer for you today, as you celebrate this day, so-called Christmas, well, you find a true meaning, you know, of Christmas, the joy of the season, may it be with you, but the true meaning of who Jesus really is. Was he just some prophet? Who he really is? What is it to you? And once again, I wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and let him be to you those things. Lord of Lords, someone said. Love, someone said. You know, and called him everything. My defender, my champion, and all so on and so forth. As you have called him, so will be to you. If you call him healer, he'll heal you. Call him deliverer, he will deliver you. If you call him your rock and your fortress, he will be a shield unto you. And so on and so forth. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. What do you call him? Father, I pray, Lord, that as we celebrate this day, we may take time to reflect on the name of Jesus. The name that is given, that is above every name, at which every knee must bow. Whether it's cancer, his name is higher. Whether it's diabetes, his name is higher. Even death, the name of Jesus is higher. Glory to God. So Lord, we love and celebrate you today and every day in our lives. And let the name of Jesus be celebrated in your life, not just one day of the year, such as Christmas, but every day. Christ be born, reborn in our hearts every day. And we pray that Christ will be born in the hearts of some today. Yes. What would Jesus want for his birthday present? Well, the hearts of men. That's right. Souls of men. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That's what he wants. Will turn your heart to the Lord today. Will you make him your Lord and your Savior? That will be the fulfillment of his mission and his joy. When he shall see the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord Father. We give you, Lord, the praise. And we give you all the glory. And blessed be the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.